vascular surgeon, and is actually one of the pioneers in the Ogden area for cardiothoracic surgery. He's also a retired colonel in the U.S. Air Force and a longtime member of our society here. And he'll be talking for 10 minutes on the history of our organization. And then after that, we'll pick up with our last speaker for the morning session. Thanks.
When you get old and you ski, you pay for it. This monograph was by Val Johnson. And I'll not try to replace it, but only describe some of my experiences that I've been privileged to participate in the Ogden Surgical Society. I served as treasurer from 1976 to 1981 and as president in 1982 with the help of Helen, my delightful wife of 54 years. I also served as program director for winter meetings of the Ogden Surgical Society, modeled after my experience as Intermountain Thoracic Society president with meetings at Snowbird. But after my moving to Ohio, the winter meetings were canceled after only about 4 years, probably because of logistics at the different ski areas. A great benefit of my service was the association with multiple colleagues serving on the board. There was also great community support. And at that time, the Standard Examiner devoted an entire society section to the activities of the meeting. And they also had included multiple articles regarding the speakers and the topics. Now, in addition to the board members, officers who served, there are many other important others who kept the society going without their faithful service. Phyllis McDonald, who was a high school classmate of mine, was the executive secretary. Ken Knapp retired as the administrator of the McKay-D Hospital and took on the mantle of executive director. Others that are listed volunteered their time and talents, usually during the meetings, to make it successful. Now, at that time, displays were not allowed, but the pharmaceutical representatives were encouraged to come and participate and mingle with the physicians present. Now, at that time, our meetings were held at Weber State in the Union Building, with social affairs being held at the Ogden Country Club. Now, the meeting success were really resulted from outstanding speakers and presentation. We usually had two foreign speakers and then about 18 national speakers who would give two or three lectures at a time. At the time, we rarely had our locals speak to us. We paid for first-class airfare and expenses for the speaker and his wife, and then a small honorarium. But as illustrated today, many of those honorariums were returned back to be used for further meetings. Those who came and spoke to us were the giants and pioneers of medicine and surgery of the mid-20th century. Surgery was a prime specialty. Disease was eradicated by cutting it out. Now multiple options are available and surgery is seemingly taking a backup role. Now listed are a number of special doctors who participated in the Ogden Surgical Society meetings as I peruse the history, and I'm going to just go over some of my experiences with some of them. Alton Ochsner was professor of surgery at Tulane University and organized the Ochsner Clinic in New Orleans, and was mentor to Michael DeBakey and many other greats. He was not present for the initial meeting of the society in 1946, but attended and participated in probably the next 30 meetings, and really enjoyed being here with the Ogden Surgical Society. He tells of while in training being called to an autopsy where he would see a case that he would never ever see again, that of bronchogenic carcinoma of the lung. Well, he saw another case and many other cases and connected bronchogenic carcinoma with the incidence of cigarette smoking. And this allowed another one of our speakers, a pediatric surgeon by the name of C. Everett Koop, who became Surgeon General of the United States, to begin the campaign of non-smoking. Now, John Ochsner, his son, replaced him as chief of the Ochsner Clinic. As a guest in our home, we talked about skiing. He had skied in many of the great resorts around the world, but he could no longer ski because he could no longer find a ski boot that would not kill him. I took him down to Alan Miller, who fit him with a size 13A ski boot comfortably. Many years later, John would talk to me at meetings and praise me for allowing him to continue in the sport that he loved. Following my surgical residency at the University of Colorado, I was drafted into the Army and fought the Vietnam War in Alaska and took my surgery boards. I passed the orals and had to take the, or passed the written and had to take the final orals in San Francisco. At that time, we had six different examiners with a backup. We never knew who the examiner was until we got into the room. I knocked on the door to enter into the room where I was scheduled and found my examiner to be Dr. Engelbert Dumphy, professor of surgery at the University of San Francisco, and at that time was felt to be the dean of surgeons. He told me that there would be a moment of rest. My predecessor examinee had walked into the room, saw it was Dr. Dumphy, and vomited all over the place. And they had to clean it up. But once they cleaned it up, Dr. Dumphy invited me in and asked me where I was from. And I said, Ogden, Utah. And then he spent most of the time praising his experience of speaking here at the Ogden Surgical Society. He indicated that one had not arrived in surgery until one had spoken in the Ogden Surgical Society. And so my interview of examination with him was very benign, thanks to the Ogden Surgical Society. My first attendance at the Ogden Surgical Society was in 1955 as a pre-medical student. I heard Sir Rodney Maingott in the Orpheum Theater at that time speak on surgical topics. And then I was amazed when I got into medical school to find out that Maingott's textbook of surgery was that book that we used in surgery. Keith Reemsma was professor of surgery when he spoke here at Columbia University. But as I did my fellowship in thoracic surgery at the University of Utah, he was chairman of surgery at the University of Utah. We shared adjacent seats at the University of Utah football games, where he would take my field glasses to watch the cheerleaders. And he would only give them back to me to look at the game when there was not a pretty cheerleader participating. And again, at many meetings after that, we laughed about that. One of the interesting experiences I had was with Andreas Grunzig. Andreas Grunzig was born in Switzerland and trained and worked in Germany, and then came to the Cleveland Clinic, where he had refined and developed his trans catheter femoral catheterization, which resulted in the diagnostic and treatment that we use today in all of the femoral catheterizations. And after his speech, I took him up to Snow Basin for a tour, and he cried because it reminded him so much of his native Switzerland. The list of notables participating in the Ogden Surgical Society is vastly incomplete on my list here, as of my speaking experiences with him. As I participated in multiple meetings, I was amazed and pleased to find that the Ogden Surgical Society was so prominent and appreciated by many of the great physicians and surgeons of the world. I also recognized in them lovely human characteristics that they displayed when they got to meet and know them in person. I am proud and grateful for my experiences in this great organization and praise those who have carried on this great tradition. Thank you.